Let us take our Bibles. We'll turn in them to the book of John, the gospel account of John, chapter 14. We'll read the first 14 verses. It's found on page 1146 in the Pew Bibles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 14. Now we're going to later be reading from our Confession of Faith, which also quotes quite a bit of Scripture in that article. But we're going to right now read directly from John 14. People of God, hear now the very words of God. Let not your... And will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long? You still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. As far as the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, we were blessed to witness the administration of baptism to a child this evening. As this child grows, Micah and your wife, you'll train him to pray. And as part of his prayers, most likely, he'll close his prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Not that that's necessarily required to use those words, but that's often the wording we use. What does that mean, though? Not just the words, but praying in Jesus' name. What's the reasoning, the doctrine behind saying that at the close of our prayers? We come to that this evening as we continue our series through the principal teachings of the Christian faith, this time about Christ's intercession, his praying for us, and that we are to pray to God through Jesus, to pray to God through Jesus. First, we consider access to God, access to God. Our reading in the gospel account of John begins with Jesus talking of his Father's house there in verse 2. Is talking about preparing a place in heaven for his followers. That's our hope of reaching, isn't it? We sang of it even in our song service this evening. As Jesus continues his teaching, he shifts, though. He shifts in the final couple verses of what we read to our asking the Father in the name of Jesus. That is, he speaks of our praying, of prayer. Now, perhaps, you know, some might say, well, what connection is there between our going to heaven after this life and our praying during in this life? There's a strong connection. Jesus himself brings it out here. They're related, going to heaven and prayer. Both involve being in God's presence. Heaven is the fullness of that. But prayer is a foretaste of it. Now, when is it that we're moved to pray? Well, yes, we pray often before and after meals. We pray in thankful times. We have to pray without ceasing. Micah, train your children to pray without ceasing. But so especially, perhaps, we pray when things are hard. Our psalm brought that out, our praise selection. When the emptiness, when the brokenness of this life, when they confront us the most, when we're overwhelmed. It's especially then that we cry out to God in prayer. Why? Because to come into God's presence in prayer, it's tied to coming into God's presence in heaven. Both are blessed. God is the source of blessing. The two are connected, and we long for that perfect peace of heaven. It's God who is mighty, who is strong, who is wise and faithful and kind. He's the source of all blessing. Coming to God in prayer is tied to coming to God in heaven, living in that blessedness beyond the foolishness, the guilt, the brokenness of this world. And both are going to heaven and are praying to God, rely upon Jesus. He makes that clear from this passage. Jesus said, I am the way, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Access to God. Then he says later, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus makes that connection clear here in this passage. As we come to heaven, come to the Father's presence only because of and through the righteousness of Christ, righteousness he accomplished for us by his life, his suffering, his death, his resurrection. So we come to God in prayer only because of and through Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. That's the heart of it. We have access to God. And so just as we are to believe in Jesus alone for salvation, believe in Jesus alone for righteousness, for eternal life, so that we can enter into heaven, so we pray through Jesus alone. We pray in Jesus' name alone. As Jesus taught in verse 13 and 14, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus' name. Jesus' name alone, that we have access to God in any and every way. No other creature can supply the righteousness we need to enter into heaven, not even in part. There is no oversupply of merit that any saint has that he or she can give to another. It is Christ's righteousness alone. That's the reformational principle of Christ alone. Christ alone, his righteousness is available. His only avails. And so too, no other creature can give access to God with praying. Again, entrance to heaven, praying to God, access to God. Only prayers in Jesus' name are prayers that God hears, that enter into his presence. Believer in Jesus, as you pray in Jesus' name, do not doubt God hears your prayers. Perhaps Asher and Rowan, as they get older, as they're trained in praying, they might ask their parents, does God hear me? How do you know God hears me? We come here. He hears your prayer, beloved. And then just as it is sinful idolatry and a false hope to look for someone else's righteousness, even our own, other than Christ, to remove our guilt in any way, so it is a sinful idolatry and a false hope to pray to another saint, hoping that that saint will convey our prayers to God. Even more than the so-called prayers that non-Christians offer, they go nowhere. Doesn't matter what religion someone is, if the prayers are not offered in Jesus' name, truly, God doesn't hear them. Oh, he knows that they pray them. He hears the word, but they don't have access to him. They're not heard by God. Jesus was very clear. Verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, that's something our forefathers in the Reformation had to stand for against Rome. It finds its way into our confession of faith, into a lengthy article, because the conflict was so sharp that we had and have with Rome. Let's turn in the back of our Psalter hymnals there. To page 81, Christ's Intercession, Article 26, page 81. This is what we confess. We believe that we have no access unto God, but alone through the only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who therefore became man, having united in one person the divine and human natures, that we men might have access to the divine majesty, which access would otherwise be barred against us. But this mediator whom the Father has appointed between him and us ought in no wise to affright us by his majesty or cause us to seek another according to our fancy. For there's no creature, either in heaven or on earth, who loves us more than Jesus Christ, who though existing in the form of God, yet emptied himself, being made in the likeness of men and of a servant for us, and in all things was made like unto his brethren. For those who aren't familiar, when you see the text here in italics, that's quoting from Scripture. If then we should seek for another mediator who would be favorably inclined toward us, whom could we find who loved us more than he who laid down his life for us, even while we were his enemies? And if we seek for one who has power and majesty, who is there that has so much of both as he who sits at the right hand of God, and to whom hath been given all authority in heaven and on earth? And who will sooner be heard than the own well-beloved Son of God? Therefore, it was only through distrust that this practice of dishonoring instead of honoring the saints was introduced, doing that which they never have done nor required, but have on the contrary steadfastly rejected according to their bounden duty, as appears by their writings. Neither must we plead here our unworthiness, for the meaning is not that we should offer our prayers to God on the ground of our own worthiness, but only on the ground of the excellency and worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose righteousness is become ours by faith. Therefore, the apostle, to remove this foolish fear, or rather distrust from us, rightly says that Jesus Christ in all things was made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And further, to encourage us to go to him, he says, having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need. The same apostle says, having boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and fullness of faith, etc. Likewise, Christ hath his priesthood unchangeable. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What more can be required? Since Christ himself says, I am the way and the truth and the life, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. To what purpose should we then seek another advocate, since it has pleased God to give us his own Son as an advocate? Let us not forsake him to take another, or rather to seek after another, without ever being able to find him. For God well knew when he gave him to us that we were sinners. Therefore, according to the command of Christ, we call upon the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, our only mediator, as we are taught in the Lord's Prayer, being assured that whatever we ask of the Father in his name will be granted us. Now, when we say we're to pray in Jesus' name, and we don't merely mean tack on to the end in Jesus' name of our prayers. Praying in Jesus' name means our prayers, the words of them are formed and offered, realizing we are unworthy to come before God because of our sin. But Christ's righteousness opens the way to God. Praying in Jesus' name means our prayers are worded, formed, and offered, striving to advance God's agenda, God's program, his kingdom that Jesus himself brought and is now spreading. And so prayer, true prayer, it's a very Christian thing. It's only a Christian thing. Relying upon Jesus alone. We rely upon Jesus alone for entrance into heaven, as well as for our prayers to be heard. Access. And no other creature. And yet there are those who claim to be Christian, and again, our forefathers faced this, who do both of those things. Seek access through some other creature. And maybe we don't see the one so visibly displayed that is others' merit to get us to heaven. But we see around us so much more. People supposedly praying to Mary or Peter or Saint Sebastian or some other patron saint. Maybe you've seen they have a little image mounted on their dashboard or hanging from their mirror or in their front yard or somewhere in their home. an image of some saint. It's all around us, and it's all empty, it's vain, it's worthless. Even worse, it's distrustful of Christ and dishonoring to those saints. Micah, raise your children, not only saying, well, that's Roman Catholic, we don't do that. But as they get old enough, train them, what's actually going on with those little statues? What's actually going on with those prayer to saints? Warn them. And call them to trust in Jesus alone, always. Access to God. And so we see we always need to be reminded of the gospel, to hear it plainly. Christ alone has provided all the righteousness a sinner needs to be right with God, to have access to God. And this righteousness God credits to us only through faith, not works, not our works, not the works of any other saint, Christ alone, faith alone. Trust Jesus. He is the very Son of God. Because he offered himself in the place of sinners, even unto death, and then rose again, because of this, Jesus gives access to God to all who trust in him. Believer, you are right with God. You're right with him. You have access. The way is open through Jesus. Access into heaven itself when you die. Access into God's presence now with prayer. Think of that. Because of Jesus, as we pray in Jesus' name, truly pray in Jesus' name, God hears you. That which used to be closed to us because of our sin and guilt, it is opened wide because of Christ's blood and righteousness. Rest assured, believer, God hears you. You have access to God. Therefore, pray to God through Jesus. This access to God that Jesus gives, it's just what we need. And as we move to in our second point, it's access for man. It's access for man. So why would someone seek to pray to God through anyone other than Jesus? Well, in light of what we saw briefly earlier from Scripture, why would someone? Well, no doubt many answers could be given. It's hard to say because, well, it's not right to do it. And so someone might use any sort of reason to do it. It seems that some pray to persons other than Jesus because they think Jesus is too high. After all, Jesus is God. Perhaps, too, then the reasoning goes, if we're trying to pray to the Father, how does praying through the Son, God the Son, accomplish this since he too is God? We need a go-between, a mediator between God and us, mere creatures, sinful creatures. Now, it's true, Jesus is God. It's true that Jesus is above us, being God as well as being perfect. No sin at all. But the wonder of the incarnation is that Jesus took upon himself our human nature. He became man. It's not just something we celebrate December 25. He became man. Jesus is truly, fully God. And Jesus is truly, fully man. We can't diminish, we can't minimize either one of those. And some get this wrong by thinking Jesus is too high above us to listen to mere mortals. And some get this wrong by making pictures of Jesus because he's a man. Both err in each of those aspects of Jesus. The reality of this full situation is what makes it so wonderful. Jesus is our mediator, God and man united in one person. He did not remain only God. He took to his person our humanity. He didn't become an angel. He didn't become an animal. He became human. Just like you. Human, whether like a baby who was baptized this evening or like the oldest among us. Jesus was made, as Scripture says, our confession quotes it, like unto his brethren in all things, except for sin. So that when Jesus said in John 14, he goes to prepare a place. Children, do you remember, for whom is he preparing a place? For you. humans, a place in which we are to live and will live. And when Jesus said in verses 13 through 14 to ask in his name, he means for us as humans to pray in his name, and it will be done. Jesus bridged the gap between God and man with his own person, being God and man united in one person. He brings access for man. Now, without being irreverent, without wanting to apply this illustration exhaustively, think of an elevator. An elevator helps those on different floors. Why? Because it connects them. Connects the floor. If an elevator didn't connect to a floor, it's of no use to those on that floor. But when it connects them, there's access, right? Well, Jesus is God. Jesus is man. The two natures united in one person. You don't need another creature to join you to Jesus so Jesus can give you access to God. Jesus himself gives access. Himself is God and man. What other mediator could we want? What other mediator could we need? Well, there's another aspect to this, and that's what we move to in our third point. Not only does Jesus give access to man, but he's attentive to us. He's attentive to us. Now, perhaps someone would pray to other saints, living or dead, not only for the reason that Jesus is God and so far above us, but mainly for the reason that, well, Jesus is sinless. So perhaps the reasoning, although Jesus became man, he never quite got low enough to our state, to our condition, because he never sinned like we do. Now, it's certainly true Jesus never sinned. Jesus is holy, righteous, pure. He is without moral blemish, no sinful nature even. He is perfect. That's true. That's without doubt. And perhaps when we reflect upon ourselves, and we think of how we deal with others and their weakness, well, we are tempted to be impatient. So maybe we think, well, maybe Jesus is like that. You see, we see someone struggle with something we don't struggle with. And there's that temptation to deal firmer with that person than if we ourselves struggled with it. Think of depression. For those who are not depressed, who don't know what it's like, we don't struggle with it. There's a temptation to treat those who struggle with depression, especially those who struggle mightily, to treat them with less patience. Look to any area of your life. Where are you tempted to be impatient with others? I look at my life. I see, if I've done something like what that other person has done, I'm a lot more to say, yeah, I get it. But if I haven't done that, or if it's been so long I forget it, if I'm honest with myself, then I'm tempted to be impatient. One of your children drop a glass and break it and have it shatter all over the kitchen. Well, some of us might be tempted to be impatient, maybe even yell at them. But then you remember, well, I've dropped my share of glasses and they've shattered. I make mistakes, if I'm honest. When your spouse messes up, or worse than just an earthly mess up, sins, there's that temptation, isn't there, to be impatient. Don't. Remember your own weakness. Remember your own sins. That's our experience. And then, so perhaps, though, people then impute that to Jesus. Say, well, he never sinned. He doesn't know what it's like. He can't know what it's like. How could Jesus deal gently with a sinner? How could he deal patiently with someone who wants to pray to God yet again about a sin they've committed again, again, again? They're struggling with it again, again. What's your besetting sin? How can Jesus relate? Maybe that's the thinking. Well, as how we are tempted to deal with others, okay, we can see how someone might say that. And then you add to it that everyone will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll give account for everything we've done in the body, whether good or bad. Christ will judge all people. He will judge perfectly according to truth, showing no favoritism. So then some people might think, well, how can Jesus show mercy to me in my sin, in my misery, in my struggle? Now, there's elements of truth in those, isn't there? Our struggle. Christ not struggling in the same way. That's why we need to be informed by all of Scripture. Yes, Jesus is perfectly righteous. Yes, Jesus will judge every human being the perfect standard of righteousness. However, and this is key, Jesus himself came down from heaven. And he submitted to be tempted. Tempted sorely, severely. Tempted more than you or I will ever be tempted because we give in. And then the temptation's done. He never gave in. 33 or so years of life, never giving in. Can you imagine the load that would be? To think of his suffering all through his life, but especially on the cross, agony in body, agony in soul. He knows what it's like to suffer, to struggle, temptation, pain, loneliness, being forsaken by God. He knows that. It's not foreign to him. No, to be sure, Jesus does not know what it's like to be burdened with personal guilt. But he knows all that goes around. And he's pure. He walked a mile in our shoes. Think of his being baptized. John the Baptist initially refused to baptize Jesus because John acknowledged, I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus said, baptized to fulfill all righteousness. When he hung on Golgotha's cross, although he didn't personally deserve that, he had the burden of our guilt and shame laid fully on him, as though he had sinned and been a sinner. Our sin was credited to him, imputed to him. Jesus suffered as a sinner would suffer. He suffered the agony of hell itself. Think of that, that the Son of God, who only and always loved those around him, and yet they abandoned him, denied him, forsook him, rejected him. He knew what it was like to suffer more than any of us. He can be, even more, he is sympathetic. And someone's hesitancy about Jesus maybe being able to sympathize, that can actually be turned back on the horrible practice of praying to other humans, to saints. If, as they fear, there isn't the sympathy for them from Jesus, for those who struggle with sin, in sin as they do, well, how do they know that that saint struggled in that way? When you go through great sorrow and suffering, it is isolating. That's part of the problem. Because in one sense, no one has gone through what you've gone through. Our suffering is so unique to us in so many ways. No other human has gone through exactly what you've done in that experience. And so turn it back to those who pray to saints. Mary didn't go through that. Peter didn't go through that. Maybe some part of it, but not everything. Our experiences in that sense are unique. And think of how long ago they lived. We have a lot different struggles today in some measure. Some are completely the same. So what's wrong with these reasonings of praying to saints? It's not just a mental reasoning. It's something deeper. It's something that, be honest, it's wicked. It's distrust of Jesus. It's doubt of God's word. That's at the root of this. And no amount of experiencing or reasoning can overcome it. God must change that person's heart. God must change our hearts. God must change us so we are amazed at the love of God, the sympathy of Christ. And it goes back to the gospel. Do you grasp the gospel? Again, there's that connection. Access to God through the righteousness of Christ received through faith alone, and praying to God through Jesus alone. Do you get the gospel? Our sin is great, but out of his great love, God sent his son Jesus to suffer and die for us. God knew what it would cost, and he did it anyway. And Jesus himself being afflicted by those he came to save, himself being tempted and suffering what we deserve, he willingly went to the cross for us. And add to this that the Holy Spirit lives within children of God, works faith and repentance, prays for us. We don't know how to pray. There's mercy. There's kindness. So not only does the triune God love us, but our Savior, our mediator Jesus, sympathizes with us and for us. What did he say in Matthew 11? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said in John 8 to the woman caught in adultery, yet repentant, woman, where are they? These humans who were ready to stone her? And Jesus sent them away. He said, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. We witness this evening the baptism of a baby. A baby. God comes to us. Even while we're children, fresh from the womb. And he affirms to us, I love you. Our whole life long, God wants us to trust him and be comforted as we trust in him. From what's quoted in our confession from the book of Hebrews, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need. You will not find such sympathy or mercy or grace in anyone else, only in God through Christ. You won't find it in Mary. You won't find it in Peter, Paul, Sebastian, Bartholomew, whatever. You won't find it in me. You won't even find it in your spouse. It's in Christ. Trust him. Don't doubt him. Believe him. He's attentive to you. And when the devil, when others, when your own flesh cries out how unworthy you are, rebuke it with the good news of Jesus. Yes, I am unworthy, but Christ died for me. Galatians 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Believer, be assured, God's love for you in Christ. Be assured, Christ hears you as you pray to him, as you pray to God in Jesus' name. You know how you know? How others can see? You show mercy and patience to others. Whether that be those who struggle with depression or addiction or besetting sin. You know, you can see when there's a conflict between people. To bring the gospel so that they grasp, I'm a great sinner, I'm forgiven, and I'm forgiving you and showing mercy. Micah, you and Elizabeth, train your children in the mercy of God toward them, his love toward them in Christ, and then show them, train them by your example and instruction to turn to others and extend mercy. You've been shown grace. Show it to others, in your family, in this congregation, others. Doesn't mean we brush sin under the carpet. No, there are consequences. Jesus doesn't brush sin under the carpet. But it means we're long-suffering, patient, merciful, even as God in Christ is to us. Do you get the gospel? Do you get that access to God through Christ's righteousness received through faith? Do you get that access to God through praying in Jesus' name? None of us gets that perfectly. But as God gives that, that we grasp that, it shows up in changed lives. And then when others ask you, how'd you resolve that conflict? You and your wife, I knew you and your wife were like this. Or you and your husband, like that. You and your kids, how'd you do that? You've been given an opportunity. You can tell them about Jesus. That's God's mercy. Pray to God through Jesus. And find not only your prayers are answered, but you yourself are being changed. You're being conformed to Christ. And that's reason to praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we have access to you through Jesus. May we not doubt. May we not distrust Christ and seek others. But that may not be our temptation to pray to some Roman Catholic saint. Often our temptation is not to extend that to others. And so help us, Lord. And may you receive all the praise. In Jesus' name.